Our bodies don't always cooperate, but we consider ourselves. We'd like to look with you tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It's been a joy to be with you today and have the opportunity of sharing with you in the Gospel and the Word of God. We always enjoy coming to visit you. Luke chapter 24. And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and the words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass during these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have delivered or redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see. For spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Sure that the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his word. This chapter is filled with tremendous information, and there's a lot of thought. There's several themes which seem to run through this chapter. You probably have seen someone who has given an outline of the open things that are found in this chapter. It is, you read it, there are various ones who write about it, and some talk about it. Open things, and it seems that as you look at this, and you kind of trace that through here, first of all, in the opening verse, it's an open sepulcher. It's an open grave, and this is the basis, and it is on the basis of the fact of the open grave that the Christian faith has real credence in the world in which we live today. If there were no open grave, if we didn't have an open tomb, if they had gone there that morning and found the body of Jesus, and you see this emphasized in two or three verses as you go down, it says that, and they him they found not. They didn't find him. I'm glad they didn't. And so it is on the basis of this particular fact that we have a real message of hope to men and women in the world in which we live. If we were speaking of a dead Christ today, if this was our message, then our message would be no greater than the message of any other man who had lived and died in the world in which we live. And so it is on the basis and on the fact that Christ is not dead. He is the one who says, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. So with having the open grave, the open sepulcher, where men can go in and they can witness the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read how we're told that he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. And so on the authority of the fact that he has been raised again, we're justified in telling men and women that the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought a work which is absolutely superior to anything else any other man has ever done on the face of the earth. And the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely superior to any other message which man has ever heard. I don't care who he is, and I don't care what he has heard. There's nothing that compares to the message of the gospel of the grace of God and the resurrected Christ. And so this is the foundation. This is foundational as far as the Christian faith is concerned. It is foundational as far as the work of the whole passage that we have before us here. And so there's the open sepulcher. And then you'll notice down in the chapter, there are open eyes, but first of all, there are closed eyes, are they not? Their eyes were holden, that they didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Your two disciples going to Emmaus, and they are moving along, and so the Lord joins himself with them, and they're not able to understand. He's talking to them, he's communicating with them, and they're not understanding. They don't appreciate who it is that is with them, until down in verse 31, you'll notice, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. So it is only as God opens our eyes that we have any understanding of the Lord at all. And there are many multitudes of people who go around. There are many in your city. There are plenty in our area where we live. And anywhere you go, there are multitudes of people whose eyes are closed and they have no appreciation and understanding of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some will say, well, yes, well, of course, he was a great man. Some will say, well, he was a man ahead of his time, actually. And there are those who give him some high accolades or some certain honors, which they will say nice things about him. But to really understand and appreciate how the fact of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, it necessitates our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. That we have to have our eyes open so by the Spirit of God, so that we can understand these things. You'll notice as well, there's the open scriptures, down in verse 27 and verse 33. He opened unto them the scriptures, you see in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Well, you see, we try to do some of that, don't we? We try to get into the scriptures from time to time, and we try to see the person of Christ there. And that's good. You see, we can go back and we can see how that, even in the Garden of Eden, there's the animals that were slain, and they were used as coverings. Blood was shed because of the sin that had entered into the first family. And so we see a picture or type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for us there. You go on into chapter 22, and you see how that Abraham is offering up his son Isaac on the cross, up on the mountain and the altar. And there is a substitute that has come, that is given in his stead. There's a ram that is caught in the thicket. And he is offered instead of Isaac. And so we see again a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we move through there. You go into Exodus and you find this, the night of the Passover, the lamb that was sacrificed. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ again. You can go through one book after the other, and you can, sometimes we can pick out some pictures, and some probably we miss. I'm sure there are plenty in there that we never visualize. It's an amazing thing to me from time to time. I'm listening to a man expanding on the Word of God, and he gives me a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've never seen it before in my life. And you say, how in the world can he be so smart, as young as he is? Well, anyway, I really don't say that. But what an amazing thing it is when you have someone who can show you these things, and how refreshing it is. But to have been in this day when the Lord Jesus, he is expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things pertaining to himself. My, what a Bible study that must have been. And so, the scriptures are opening up, and what a splendid opportunity it is. When you sit down with the Word of God in your hands, and here's this one, this the scriptures open, you're beginning to read this passage of scripture, and the Spirit of God is opening your understanding, and you see how Christ is set before you here. You can find him in Proverbs. You can find him in the Psalms. You can find him in the prophets. You can find him in so many of, some would tell us he's on every page in the Bible. I'm not sure that I know I haven't found him on every page. I'm not saying he's not there. I just said I haven't found him. And there's a lot of places that, like I said, somebody has to show me. I mean, I'm kind of dull anyway. And everything I've ever learned is somebody taught me. And so anyway, that's the way things are. But when the scriptures are opened, and when you have the scriptures open and your understanding is open, then you notice in verse 34 what happens. The mouth is open. They are saying, the Lord is risen indeed. You see, when we know about the open tomb, and when we have the scriptures opened, and when our understanding is open, and we have some appreciation of the person of Christ, then our mouth can be opened. We've got something to tell people. Why, We have a neighbor that we were invited into some meeting just recently. And, we had Brother Bill Gustafson, who was teaching us about from Egypt to Canaan. He was using this chart, and he was teaching us concerning the pathway of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. And I spoke to my neighbor, and I said, I told him about the meetings that were being held. I said, it'd be good for you to come out and listen to that. He says, I know all about that. He says, I've taught that in Sunday school. I know all about it. He says, I don't want a preacher preaching to me more than 10 minutes anyway. Well, Brother Bill Gustafson spoke longer than 10 minutes. Most of us do. But the thing is, what you think about this, if your mouth is open and you only can speak for 10 minutes, and you're going to tell everybody all that you can say in 10 minutes. Well, yeah, that's a sort of a limited, you'd have to pick your words pretty carefully and plan them a long ways ahead of time, I suppose. I guess some would say, well, I wish it shut up in 10 minutes. I don't know. But you see, our mouth is open and we have something to say when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stand to listen to that. And it's good for others to listen to it as well. And there is an opening of the understanding. You go down to verse 45, we didn't read that. But it says he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, that's the work of God. That is, God himself enlightening us so that we can have some understanding of what the Word of God is all about. I can remember a time in my life where the Bible was nothing but a mystery book to me. I mean, I could pick up the Bible and I could start reading it and I'd have no idea what I was reading about. I remember days like that. And then I began to study the Bible, and a dear brother gave me a book by one of the old writers, and we'd be reading, and I'd be reading in the Gospels, and he would say to me, I'd be reading his exposition, and he'd say, this is the burnt offering aspect of Christ. And I would say, what in the world is that? What's he talking about? Well, this is a sin offering. What is that? What's he talking about? I said, that must be back over yonder in the Old Testament someplace. And I started finding out, well, it's over there. And I said, how in the world will a man ever learn the Bible if you're reading over here and he's talking to you about something over there and on the other pages or in the other Testament? How do you put it all together? You see, my understanding was not enlightened. It wasn't opened. I did not have an understanding of the Scriptures. And so, little upon little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, now I've got a little understanding. I know what the burnt offering's about now. And I know about the sin offering and the others as well, the other three that you have there in the opening of Leviticus. But at that time, I had no comprehension of what it was about. I didn't even, well, so much for my ignorance. But finally, you have in this passage, open heaven, do you not? What a tremendous thing. Heaven is open and the Son of God has been received. And he is a forerunner of his people. And this is a testimony and this is our assurance. He is our anchor. He is in heaven. We are linked with him. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is our destination. Well, it gives us hope, doesn't it? When we stop and consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has already gone into heaven, and we are one day going to be with Christ, Paul says, which is far better. Oh, I like them that far better. I like this. We talk about the better life. I like the better life. And the better life is this life which is hidden, where your life is hid with Christ in God. That's better than to be outside looking in. So there's some open things that you have here. But then you'll find also that there's another thing that kind of runs through this chapter. And one of the things which has to do with is the people of God's association with Christ. The association. And I was sitting here this just a few minutes ago, and I was thinking how what we've experienced here today is exactly what I see that is set forth in this passage of Scripture. First of all, in the opening, in verse 1, you have, they are, the commencement of the day is being occupied with the person of Christ. How do we begin our days? How do we begin our Lord's days? You see, this is actually a sort of given us the, what they call an anatomy of the first Lord's Day. Here's the first Lord's Day, and how did the people, how did they spend their time? In the notice in verse 1, and upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, what were they doing? It says, they came into the sepulcher bringing spices. They were going to the sepulcher. They were occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good occupation. On the first day of the week, in the very first thing in the morning, to be occupied with Christ. Have Christ before our hearts. Have Him being this one who is not only occupying our minds, but He's making a determination. There's a determination as far as activity is concerned. Their occupation with Christ is determined in the activities that they're going to be involved in that day. They are going to the sepulcher. Well, you say, but He wasn't in the sepulcher. They didn't know that. But they were occupied with Him, and their intentions were to be ministering in relation to the person of Christ in a given capacity. Sometimes we can get occupied with things which are not associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we only can stand the Word of God for 10 minutes, that's a short while to be occupied with Christ for the whole Lord's Day, is it not? So there is this commencement, beginning the day with the Lord. In verse 15, you notice there is communion with Christ. It came to pass as they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. It's good. And it says that He went with them. Well, how good it is to know that the Lord is with us. He is communing with us. Your Bible says to you that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Now read that carefully. It doesn't say where two or three gather together. It doesn't say where two or three gather together in My name. It says where two or three are gathered together. It's in the passive. I think. Were you gathered together tonight? Or did you gather together? Did the Lord draw your heart here? That's the idea. Were you drawn here by the person of Christ? Or did you just decide, I'm coming to the meeting? Well, there's a meeting going on, and I think I ought to be there. They're going to give out refreshments at the end of the meeting. If the preacher ever quit, they were going to... And so the thing is, am I gathered together? Is the Lord communicating, communing with me? Am I communing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he before my heart, not only as in the commencement of the day, but is there this communion with the Lord through the day? Do I have the Lord before my heart? This morning, the first thing we came here, our brother was bringing our hearts into the presence of the Lord. We attempted to continue in the second meeting. We've sat here for the last hour and we've been sitting in the presence of the Lord. What a day, way to spend the day. And here we are tonight. Now, at this moment, we're thinking about the person of Christ. Our hearts can be in communion with him. He went with them. He drew near to them and he went with them. Oh, how good it is to know that the Lord is with us. The Lord is in our midst. And there is a third thing. There's communication with Christ. You notice in the verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? The Lord is in your midst and you're sad. Well, they didn't know he was there. That was a problem. And when people don't know the Lord and they don't know the presence of the Lord, it has a tendency to change our demeanor and our attitude. But when the Lord is in our midst and we recognize him and we know him, then of course it makes a world of difference. Down in verse 19, it says he's asking, they said to him, you must be a stranger here. And he said, I don't know the things that's happened. And the things, what happened? Well, what things is he talking about? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You see, they can say those things about Christ. They knew that much about him. And people can say that about him today. And not necessarily say people. And then he goes on, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since he's... Well, isn't that great? It's the third day. That's the day of the resurrection. That's the resurrection day. That's the day in which God is going to reveal his power in a very marvelous way. And so there's this communication. But right at this juncture in their circumstances, they are sad. You see in verse 23, they found not his body. Verse 24, but him they saw not. We had hoped it should be he, but he's gone. That's what they're saying. Our hopes were in him, but he's gone. He's dead. He died. And the last time we saw him, he was hanging on a cross. That is the thinking of the people that were there. And then Christ now reveals himself. And he reprimands them in verse 25. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe to all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Don't you understand this? As you go back and read the prophecy of Isaiah, where you read concerning the suffering Messiah, do you not also read of the glorious reign of this one? So, must he not suffer? Must he not enter into his glory? Had he not so told his disciples? Back in verse 7, they're reminded that the Son of Man, where he has told his disciples that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He had told them that. It's recorded several times in the Gospels. And so, He is reprimanding them, it seems, there in verse 25 and 26. And then he is rehearsing before them in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures. And so he is going along with them, and he is expounding the word of God to them. And then it says they drew near unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he was going to go on, but they constrained him. The Lord does not impose himself in our hearts. Now, he may impose himself in our lives, but he doesn't impose himself in our hearts. He doesn't force his way in. He does not force you to receive him. Here's the Lord. The Lord is a gentleman. He presents himself. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you under my arms as a hen gathereth her chick, and ye would not. Now, he made as if he would go on, but they constrained him. And what a tremendous invitation this was. You see, in verse 29, they said to him, "Abide with us. It's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and will open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and him with me." The Lord is interested in coming into our lives and coming into our hearts. And the Lord wants us to invite him in and to make him a part of our circumstances. And there is this continuation, verse 30. "It came to pass as he sat at meat with them." See, he is with them now. You see, it says in verse 29, the day is far spent. There has been occupation with the Lord all day long. All day long. And now there's this continuation into the evening. He took bread and he blessed it and broke it and he gave it to them, and their eyes was opened. So now he has revealed himself to them. And then notice the consideration there. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures?" On heart-warming experience to have the Lord in our midst, revealing the word of God to our hearts. We began today, the Lord's Day, with the Lord before our hearts. We've continued with him before our hearts today. It's now evening. We have the Lord before our hearts this evening. And you notice, then they turn and they go back to Jerusalem. I looked at the map and it says 15 furlongs, I believe. 70 furlongs. And I'm not sure I know how long a furlong is. And so, but I kind of looked at one of my maps and then it kind of shows you, it kind of looks like it's about 8 to 10 miles. Now imagine you have walked with the Lord 8 to 10 miles. In one day, now it's late in the evening, and the Lord is revealed to you, and then they turn around and go back to Jerusalem over the same route they just came, 8 to 10 miles back over there. And they meet the disciples, and they're talking about the Lord. You see in verse 33, they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I believe that the Lord reveals himself to our hearts in the breaking of the bread in a very marvelous way. That's why I love to be there. I do not miss it if it's possible to be there. The Lord is revealed to us in a marvelous way in the breaking of bread. When we sit together and we're reminded afresh, week after week, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, of the Lord Jesus Christ's death for us, how he himself has, here we see pictured before us, here's the loaf and here's the cup separated, reminding us of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would say, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. He died that we might have life. Is it any wonder that we rejoice in being occupied with the Lord Jesus? On Lord's Day, it's a good day to have a commencement, begin with the Lord Jesus, continue with the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a conclusion of the day with the Lord before our hearts. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we're thankful for your word. Thankful for the encouragement that we receive from it. Cause our hearts to be drawn to thyself and to thy Son, the Lord Jesus. In his own precious and worthy name we pray. Amen.